back to it, but just kind of prayed this afternoon, thought I would maybe go a different direction, but just want to go back and finish out this message tonight, and I pray that it'll be a help and encouragement to everyone tonight. And if you're able to stand, we'll read a few verses. We won't read all the verses we read this morning, but maybe just two or three verses and then have prayer. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to the pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Notice verse 23, that when the rich man lifted up his eyes and being in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Father, I ask you tonight, if you would, to bless the reading of thy word. Thank you for what you've already done in this service this evening. Thank you for your people, Lord. I know, Lord, that it is cold outside. The weather's not particularly the best, but they came on to the house of God anyway. And I pray that you'll bless everyone tonight. And may your will be done. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I don't really recap sermons much, but just for the sake of time, for just a couple of minutes, I would note that we talked about this man by the name of Lazarus, and we mentioned this man's name. And when we think about Lazarus, his name is the same name as it is in the Hebrew, Eleazar, which means whom God has helped. And so Lazarus, his name means whom God has helped. And Lazarus was one that was sick and starving, and he was one who was suffering. And so the Bible mentions his name, then it mentions his needs, how that he was hungry. The Bible said that he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He was no doubt a handicap. It was, he was laid at the gate and full of sores. He was unhealthy and maybe even homeless. We don't know a lot about this beggar, but we know that he had many needs. And so the Bible emphasizes his name and his needs, and then it mentions his neighbor, this rich man who had plenty of money and materials. He had much, but he had no mercy on this beggar here, and he would not show mercy on him. I mentioned this morning how that Jesus said that those who show mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I promise you, if you live long enough in this life, there is going to be some point in life where you're going to need somebody. I'm not just talking about God, but you're going to need somebody in this life, an individual, to show you mercy. Amen. But the rich man had no mercy on this beggar here. And then there's this man's neglect. When we think about it, there's no crumbs for Lazarus in this text. There's no concern for Lazarus in this text. No one runs to his refuge. No one comes to his aid. And there's no care for Lazarus. I mean, he just dies like an old beggar, and no one weeps, no one sorrows. There's no funeral for him. I mean, he left this world as he was in this world, and that is a beggar. And Lazarus, as far as society would be concerned, he would be a lowlife in society. But I want to say, this lowlife, he left this world, thank God, and he stepped into the high life. Amen. And you know, if you live in this world, as I mentioned this morning, this world is the lowlife. As David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley," that's the low spot, "of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me." Thank God there is a better day coming for every one of us. Amen. One of these days, we're going to cross the last valley. We're going to cross the last river. Thank God we're going to climb the last hilltop. And hallelujah, one of these days, as the songwriter said, "I shall dwell on Zion's a holy hill." Hallelujah. We're headed to the high life. I want to say, my friend, if you don't know Jesus, you are living the low life. But the best life I've ever known is a life saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, going to heaven when this life is over with. Thank God, if I had a thousand lives to live, I'd give them all to the Lord. It's just good to be saved. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved, isn't it? I'd rather be saved as smoking dope tonight, amen. I know saved people can smoke dope, but they won't enjoy it like lost people do. I promise you that. I'm telling you, we don't need the world's methods, and we don't need their music, and we don't need all the things, as I mentioned this morning, that they have. I don't feel sorry, or I don't want to trade places, excuse me, with anybody in this world. I'm telling you, the world can have their parties. They can have their festivals. They can have all their amusement and everything that they want. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, they're just empty on the inside. But I'm telling you, there's, you can't put a price tag on peace on your pillow. Amen. You can't put a price tag on knowing that when the whole world's falling apart, there's somebody still in control. I'm telling you tonight, it's good to know Jesus Christ. It's good to know that there's something better than this life. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all being most miserable tonight. Amen. So I'm preaching on the low life who's now living the high life. Amen. And I notice tonight in this text here, I want you to see Lazarus and his disabilities. Amen. Notice the Bible said in verse number 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And we think about where he is laying. He is laying at the gate of a rich man that cares nothing for him and about him. We think about those who lifted him. Somebody had to carry Lazarus and lay him at that gate. There was a certain amount of embarrassment. There was a certain amount of humiliation, no doubt, that came with being a lame beggar, amen, always having to depend on somebody else, always being a burden to somebody else, always having to ask somebody to transport him from one place to another. He's going to get transported here in just a little bit from one place to another, amen. But I think about Lazarus and his disabilities. As long as he lived in this life, he had his disabilities. And can I tell you, the Bible said that he was laid at the gate and he was full of sores. I mean, the flesh is ugly. When you think about this flesh, Paul said, in me dwelleth no good thing. All of my righteousness is filthy rags. Amen. I mean, as ugly as those sores were that were all over his body, infected and no doubt taking his life from some dreaded disease. You and I tonight, sin had scarred us and marred us. We were every bit as ugly as what Lazarus was. We was every bit as lame as what Lazarus was. We couldn't pick ourselves up from our own bootstraps. We couldn't get ourselves out of the mess we was in. We couldn't stand on our own two feet. But thank God, I know of another rich man who, my friend, thank God, he loved us. He wasn't like this rich man. He was willing to come to where we was. I'm telling you, listen, it was the great songwriter that said, the gulf that separated me from God was too vast and too far. He said, but when I could not come to where he was, hallelujah, he came to me, amen. Old Brother Squire Parsons wrote that song, didn't he? I remember listening to that song so many times. I got it at the house on a record. Can you believe that? But I'm telling you, I listen to that old song and I think about the gulf that we read about in Luke chapter 16. But I'm telling you of another gulf that sin had separated me. But the cross of Calvary brings man, my friend, and brings God together. And I see Lazarus's disability. Sin had disabled every one of us. Amen. You say, I don't understand why sinners do what they do. I'll tell you why. Because they're sinners tonight. And had it not been for the grace of God, no telling where we'd be at tonight. No telling what we would be doing had God not picked us up. You say, preacher, I was raised in a Christian home. This is all I know. Yes, but you know what has sent more people to hell than alcohol or any other kind of sin you can think of tonight? It's religion. Amen. And you realize tonight you could have been raised in a Christian home like you are, and you could be religious but lost. I think a religious but lost person is harder to reach than a drunkard or a dope head or anybody else. Amen. Because they know they need God. But a lot of times religious people
cling to their religion and think they're okay. You realize it took just as much grace for God to save you out of religion as it did to save one man out of alcohol. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, it's the grace of God in all of our life. It's a miracle upon miracles that any of us would be on our way to heaven. And while we sit in the house of God tonight, we ought to thank God for His mercy and thank God for His grace and thank God that He would look down and come to where we was. I'm glad He found us and He rescued us. Hallelujah. I see tonight Lazarus and his disabilities, and I see Lazarus and his desire. Amen. Look at verse 21. And desiring to be fed. I mean, Lazarus is hungry physically. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of people tonight, they're desiring to be fed spiritually. They're empty on the inside. And Lazarus is just wanting some crumbs. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. In the old, in Bible days, what they would do, rich people would take stale bread as they sit around the table. They would take stale bread and they would use it in the form of a napkin to wipe their hands. And just to prove how rich they were, they had plenty. And so they'd take that stale bread. They didn't have napkins back then. And they'd wipe their hands and then they'd just cast it on the floor there, and the servants would come by and would clean it up. You think about Lazarus, this old beggar here. I mean, listen, he's hungry and he's just desiring the crumbs. Lazarus desired what was left. He desired the little, amen, what nobody else wanted. But he died starving and hungry. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he sung that song a while ago, Fill My Cup, Lord. I'm glad tonight there was a day when God filled my cup. Brother, I want to tell you, if you ever get saved, you'll have to agree there's nothing better than being saved. Jesus will do for you what rehab cannot do for you. Jesus will do for you what the Masonic Lodge cannot do for you. Is that right? He'll do for you what the Elk Lodge will not do for you. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, if you become a Christian, you'll quit being a Mason. Somebody say amen. Well, that went over like a lead balloon, amen, but it's still right. I'm just simply saying tonight that Jesus, he's right for whatever's wrong in your life. I'm telling you, you may not have two nickels to rub together, but if you're saved by the grace of God tonight, you've got riches that money cannot buy. Amen. I'm telling you, I'd rather sit under a bridge and be born again as to live in a palace and not know Jesus Christ. I'd rather lay my head at night and not know what holds tomorrow, but know who holds tomorrow. I'm telling you, it is good to know Jesus Christ tonight. In the free pardon of sin. And brother, it's good to know you passed from death unto life. I'm telling you, there's somebody living on the inside. I thank God for the sweet Holy Ghost. I thank God for somebody. I thank God that's living on the inside. I'm telling you, we don't go on feelings, but I sure feel good right now. Amen. I'm talking about redeemed by His grace. I'm talking about washed in His blood. I'm talking about from darkness into light. I'm talking about lifted out. I'm talking about the lifter up of our head. He is wonderful. He is glorious. He is the counselor. He is the everlasting God. He's the Prince of Peace. And He lives on the inside. Hallelujah. Thank God, it's good to be saved. And I see Lazarus in his desire. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. You won't want anything else. You realize we could all go get drunk tonight. I mean, maybe not you kids. Amen. But every one of us could get drunk if we wanted to. Every one of us could smoke dope tonight. Every one of us could go out and live in sin. But I tell you, if you're saved, you don't want to. Isn't that right? Brother, I'm telling you, when my dad got saved, I wasn't sure for a week, maybe 10 days, if he really got saved. I told my wife, I said, I hope he got saved. And he said, well, was that a lack of faith? No, I've seen poured alcohol out so many times that it wasn't nothing to see him poured out and make a promise after promise. I'll never do that again. It wouldn't last most of the time. It wouldn't even last 24 hours most of the time. I think one time he might have went 3 days without drinking a drop, but he went right back to it. But I'll tell you, he poured that alcohol, poured that liquor out down that drain. And I wondered, is he really saved? But I went over to his house about a week or 10 days after that, was sitting there in the living room. and we was having a conversation and a curse word come out of his mouth. That's just a second language growing up when you was amongst our parents. And you know, that curse word come out of his mouth. And I tell you, when I knew he got saved, when that word rolled off his tongue, he stopped right in the middle of that conversation and paused for a minute. He said, "Son," he said, "I'm sorry. I don't never remember my parents apologizing for using a curse word in all my life." He said, "I'm sorry for what I said." He said, "It's just been in my vocabulary so long." He said, "I'm trying to get it out." I said, "Dad, it'll be all right. The Lord will help you with that." I'll tell you what that is, friend. That's somebody on the inside making a difference. Hallelujah. On the outside, amen. He puts a new desire. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. It changes you, want to, isn't that right? I tell you, when you get saved, you're a teenager, you don't want to go to the prom. Somebody say amen. That's right. I know I hit a snag on that, so I'll back up and say it again. When you get saved, you're a teenager in high school, you get saved, you won't want to go to the prom. Amen. You want to go to church. You want to go to revival. You want to go to mission conference. You want to be where God's people is. You don't want to do the boogie-woogie. Amen. Or get out there, you know, and do all that kind of wicked dancing. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about when you get saved, thank God. Only dancing you'll do will be a holy dance in the house of God, like David did when he dance before the ark of the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, I just feel so free. Hallelujah. I feel like, thank God, I could charge hell with a water pistol right now. Thank God it's good to be saved. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know Jesus? And I'm telling you, he puts a new desire in your heart. You don't want to go that route no more. Thank God you want to live for God. Lazarus and his desire. Lazarus and his disability. What about Lazarus and his dogs here? The Bible says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, that's always been an interesting phrase to me. Because I like dogs. How many of y'all like dogs? I hate cats, but I like dogs, don't you? We used to have a cat. It wasn't our cat. Let me just go ahead and tell you that. But somebody, I won't say who, because, you know, we're live streaming right now. Somebody in a land far away had a cat. I need to come over to the house. I hated that cat. And I used to tell the grandboys, I said, "Now," they say, "Papa, there's a cat." I said, "Yeah, his name's Lucifer." I kept a BB gun in the back for old Lucifer. Every time he'd come, I'd pull it out. I said, "Fire him up, amen." I'm telling you, he had more earmarks than any cat in the neighborhood. I mean, it would burn his ear. He's died. We wasn't trying to just kill him all out, you know. We just letting him die a slow, agonizing death, you know. Now, I know if you're an animal activist, I probably got in a whole lot of trouble right there. We didn't kill him, okay? But he is dead, I'll tell you that much. But I didn't do it. I think years ago, there's a cartoon come out, All Dogs Go to Heaven. I told my girls that they didn't watch it, but I said, "Well, if all dogs go to heaven, you know where cats went." Amen. If you're a cat lover, don't get mad at me. You know, I hope you have 20 before the week's out, since you love them so much. But these dogs here, I thought to myself, these dogs. I've always liked dogs. And big dogs, don't you? And didn't like them in the house, but I like dogs. But these dogs here, I'm not sure about these dogs. It'd be easy for me to tell you that these dogs had more compassion on Lazarus than the beggar, than the rich man, because they licked his sores. And I understand to a point that's what dogs and animals do to heal themselves. But there's another side to that. You say dogs in the Bible, they didn't name dogs Fifi in the Bible. Thank God there wasn't no Chihuahuas in the Bible. Amen. That's just a midget ill Doberman's all that is. You know that. You got a Chihuahua, more power to you. That's not a real dog, amen. That's like saying I got a Jeep and you drive a Liberty, amen. Y'all know what I've done ticked half y'all off, but it'll be okay. It'll help your blood pressure. You'll be over it by Wednesday, amen. But you know that these dogs also, they were wild in the Bible. And so I don't know if the dogs, and maybe you do know, I don't know if the dogs licking his sores was a form of compassion, or if they led to his death. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass, the Bible says, that the beggar died. What I'm saying to you is, I don't know where these dogs came into Lazarus' life. It could have been a very bad death.
could have been a... See, sometimes just because we're saved, it doesn't mean that life always ends so well down here. I would like to think that if I go by way of the grave, that I live to be an old age and pass away somewhere in my sleep and slip out and slip into eternity. Perhaps that would happen, but it doesn't always happen that way for God's children, does it? And I see Lazarus and his dogs. These dogs are mentioned in the Scriptures. They're mysterious in the Scriptures, but I do think these dogs are meaningful, for God would not have put them in the Scriptures had they not had some kind of meaning. You say, preacher, what does it mean? I don't know. Amen? Maybe they were compassionate and they licked his sores, and maybe they were some type of companionship until it left this world. Maybe they were like all the other dogs, and in Bible days they were wild beasts, and they came and they took his life. I don't know what these dogs represented, but we see Lazarus and his dogs. We see Lazarus and his death. Look at the next phrase. The Bible said in verse 22 that it came to pass that the beggar, he died. Amen. Now here's how Lazarus dies. Think about Lazarus and his death. He dies in poverty. He dies, no doubt, in pain. Amen. His body is racked full of sores. He is laying there at that gate. I'm telling you, Lazarus, he don't have anything, just the mere clothes on his body. And Lazarus is going to leave this world as a beggar. He's going to leave this world as a burden to society. As far as society is concerned, they could care less what happens to Lazarus. Society had no use for Lazarus. He was just a low life. But I'm going to tell you, while society did not care about him, there was another world that cared very much about Lazarus. And while society was willing to throw him away, there was another world getting ready. There's a welcome committee on the other side, because Lazarus was going to leave a life. He was going to pass through that portal, thank God. He was going to say goodbye to a life of sickness and a life of suffering, and he's leaving this life, and thank God he's going to a better life. I got news for you, child of God. There may be sickness and there may be suffering between here and yonder, but one of these days we're going to pass through that portal and we're going to leave a life, a low life, but hallelujah, we're going to the high life. Amen. Things are going to pick up for Lazarus here. It came to pass that he died. He died in poverty and pain, but I'll tell you something else. Hallelujah, he died in peace, didn't he? What looks like the end for Lazarus is really only the beginning. What looked like the end of the road was really, he was laid at one gate, but thank God he's fixing to pass through another gate, isn't he? He's at the gate of the rich man's palace, but he's going to the gate of another rich man's palace. He's going to paradise. Hallelujah. He's going to leave this world. And so I see Lazarus and his death, but here's where I want to give you just a few moments and be done. Notice Lazarus at his departure. Look at verse number 22 here. It said it came to pass that the beggar died, look at this, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Well, that phrase has always caught my attention. That he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You say, well, why is that little phrase so important? I'll tell you why, because it's here for just a moment. Do you realize what God does? He gives us a little preview. Lets us have a little sneak peek from this world into the next world, and what it is like to depart from this world if you're a child of God, what it is like to leave this world and to go into the next world. So what do you mean? I mean, these three little things about his departure. Number one, Lazarus has company in his departure. He was carried, notice this, by the angels. You realize when Lazarus died, he didn't die alone. You realize when he left this world, he wasn't by himself. Oh, the rich man wasn't there. Society wasn't there. I don't know if the dogs was there, but I do know the angels were there. What happens is that death seems so lonely to us on this side. We've all stood by the bedside. We've watched our loved ones slip out of this life into the next life. We've watched them take their last breath. And for you and I, it is such a grim sight. We feel so helpless because we know that they're slipping away, that they're fading away from us. But however, what we do not realize is as we stand in that hospital room or that bedroom where that loved one is,
is as they're taking their last breath while they're struggling in a body that is racked with sickness and pain, just like Lazarus's body, we're not in that room by ourselves. I'm telling you, on the other side of that veil in that room, there's a welcome committee that is waiting for that child of God as they're getting ready to depart and they're getting ready to take that crossing. You may not be able to see them and I may not be able to see them, but as sure as we see them in the scriptures, just like when Lazarus, he didn't die alone. Thank God that no Christian dies alone. Amen. I remember years ago, right over here on Wilson Road, I was sitting with Brother Gray. You remember Brother Gray? He used to come. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was, I don't know, 88, 89 years old. And he was dying. And it was probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Me and his wife were sitting in the living room. He was laid in a hospital bed, and we didn't really think he would make it till midnight, but he was kind of comatose and wasn't responding hardly any at all. He'd squeeze your hand just a little bit. And we were sitting there, and I don't remember what his wife was doing, but I remember I just about dozed off asleep. And all of a sudden, Brother Gray opened his eyes. He said, "Do you see him?" I don't know who he was talking to, but I opened my eyes and I said, "Brother Gray," I said, "Yeah." I said, "Brother Gray." He said, "Do you see him?" And he closed his eyes and he left this world. I thought, "Brother Gray, I wish you'd have told me who you saw." But I reckon he did. He saw him. He said, "Do you see him?" I'm talking about laying there and just comatose. All of a sudden he opened his eyes. He saw to another horizon. He saw somebody on the other side. I don't think it might have been. Well, it probably was the angel of the Lord. He saw somebody was coming, thank God. I'm telling you, I stood there. I mean, I could feel cold chills coming up and down my spine. Amen. Because I knew somebody bigger than me or anybody else had stepped in that room. I'm telling you, we cannot see what's on the other side, but you rest assured when it comes time to make the crossing, you're not going to cross Jordan alone. Hallelujah. There'll be somebody standing on the other side waiting, praise God, ready for you to make the crossing. Hallelujah. I see tonight that Lazarus has company in his departure. I remember my wife's husband, her dad. Your husband ain't dead yet, I'll just let you know that. I remember when her dad passed away. He did the same thing. He opened his eyes. He couldn't say anything. But he looked at his wife. He looked at my wife, and he looked at his other daughter. And Miss Nolita said to him, she said, "Dad, you see something, don't you?" He kept looking up. She said, "You see something, don't you?" And she said, "It'll be okay. You go be with the Lord." And said, he looked back at each one of them. Then he looked back up and he took his last breath. I'm telling you, heaven's real tonight. Oh, it's real. It's more real on that side than it is on this side. And no shadows on that side, thank God. There's no storm clouds on that side. There's no sickness and suffering. There's no walkers and there's no hospitals and there's no funeral homes. Hallelujah. It's springtime forever and ever. Thank God. The sun is always shining in glory land. Hallelujah. The sun never sets in the sky of the eternal world. I'm telling you, I'm about to think myself happy. It's real. It is real. Praise God, it's real. Hallelujah. One of these days we're going to depart, ain't we? We ain't going to depart by ourselves. Thank God we're going to have company. I believe it'll be Jesus. Stephen saw Jesus, didn't he? When he left. And Lazarus not only has company in his departure, but I want you to notice something else. He has a carriage in his departure. Look what the Bible says here. It came to pass that the beggar died, and notice this, he was carried by the angels. Them angels carried Lazarus. They didn't carry Lazarus because he was weak and feeble. They didn't carry Lazarus because he had a lame, sick body. No, because Lazarus Once you close your eyes in death, you leave this body behind. You see, man is not a body with a soul. Man is a soul with a body. We put so much stock in this outer part that we can see, but this part's deteriorating. But the soul of man never dies. The real you is not what I'm looking at on the outside. The real you is on the inside. It's your soul. It's your spirit. And this body is going to falter and it's going to fade, but this spirit's going to live. And Lazarus is not being carried because he is feeble anymore, but he's being carried because this is the coronation day for Lazarus. And I want to tell you something. I know that heaven is upward, and I know that when we leave this life, we that are saved, we're going to heaven. Isn't that right? But can I be honest with you? I don't know the path to heaven, amen. I don't know the trip to heaven. You say, why? Because I've never been there. Amen. But thank God I know somebody who does. Amen. I know somebody that's made the trip many, many times. And in the process of making that trip, you know what? He's never lost anybody. There's never been a casualty between here and yonder. And one of these days we're going to leave this walk of life. And thank God we're going to have a carriage. He knows the path. He knows the way to the portals of glory. Amen. I'll tell you, listen, apart from getting to heaven, you know what's going to be wonderful? The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And thank God he's going to take us to the other side, and we're going to land safely on the other side. We're going to be carried by Jesus to the other side. Lazarus and his company and his departure. Lazarus and his carriage and his departure. And then I notice Lazarus and his comfort in his departure. You know, the Bible says in verse number 25, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now, that's all that matters is eternity, doesn't it? But now, look at this. He's comforted and thou art tormented. Lazarus, what will happen to our loved ones who are saved? I'll tell you what will happen. They won't leave this world by themselves. There'll be company. They won't have to figure out how to get to heaven on their own. There'll be a carriage. There'll be a party. There'll be someone that'll transport them to the other side. And when they get there, you can rest assured they will be just like Lazarus. Now he is comforted. The Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul said in verse number 13, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, that's the dead, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many of y'all believe that? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's going to carry us all away one of these days, isn't he? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we can't leave that last verse out, can we? Wherefore, Paul said this, comfort one another with these words. Paul said, you haven't seen them for the last time. Your daddy sit right over there. But he's comforted tonight, isn't he? He's more comfortable than we are. Your mother, I remember one Sunday morning, and I know you remember that. We was in Sunday school here, and we sung the Haven of Rest. And it was just like heaven stepped down in this place. Your mama got to shouting back there. I still can see her standing back here where Sister Benny May sit down shouting. I believe she's shouting right now. I believe her and your dad's having a time. I believe Brother Charles Roach is having a good time. He's comforted on the other. I believe Brother Cape's having a good time. I believe Brother Andy Anderson. I know Brother James Rowland's having a good time. He had a good time at Walmart, didn't he? Can you imagine what James Rowland's doing in heaven right now? I tell you what, he's shouting the hillsides of glory. Amen. I'm telling you, they're not feeble and bent down. They're not walking around, just dragging their feet and just lame. They're not not feeble anymore. Oh, thank God, they're doing better than all of us put together. Amen. They got a glorified body. Hallelujah. They're standing in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of God. They got a body that a voice that'll never tire, and a body that'll never grow old. They're comforted on the other side. I'm saying, child of God, cheer up. If you've lost a loved one, you rest assured you'll see them again, thank God. But I'm going to go ahead and get you ready. When you see them, you'll recognize them. They'll be known as they're known, but they're going to look better than you've ever seen them in this life. They're going to look better because they're going to have a glorified body. You'll say, is that them? It has to be them. But they look so wonderful. They look so beautiful. They look so glorious. They're so happy on the other side. Hallelujah. You got a mom and dad on the other side. Don't feel sorry for them. They feel sorry for you. They're living in a land where they never grow old. They're living in a land, thank God, where it's sunshine forever. They're singing. They're happy. They're rejoicing in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. They're comforted. If you could send a message and say, please come back, they'd send you another message. And it would say, please come over. It's better. I wish Brother George was still here, and I know you wish it more than anybody. But he would say, I'll wait for you over here. Please come over. It's a whole lot better over here than it is where you're at. It'll just be a little while. Eternity has no time to it. This world is three-dimensional. But eternity has no time. There's no past, no present, no future in eternity. I'm telling you, in just a bat of an eye, 1,000 years down here would seem like just a bat of an eye. When you get over on the other side, you may throw your arms around them and say, oh, it's been so long since I've seen you, and I love you and I miss you. But you know what they're going to say to you? Well, I just left here just the other day. I ain't been there that long, amen. You know why? Because they're not there living where time is no more. Won't it be wonderful over there, having no burdens to bear? Thank God, joy and sickness and sorrow, all that'll be gone. But thank God, there's joy coming, hallelujah, in the morning, praise God. In the morning, thank God. Thank God, in the morning, joy's a coming, hallelujah. On the other side, there's a lot more in that text, but I'm going to quit right there tonight. I won't tell you. To this world, he was just a low life. Tonight, he's living the high life. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad we that are saved. Young people, you listen to me. Don't you look twice at this world. You look at how they're living tonight. They're living on a lower standard. You can be what they are any day, but they'll never be what you are. You thank God for the high life. Living for Jesus is the best life you'll ever know. As we stand tonight, Lord, thank you.